I believe that anyone can be a prophet after you see that things came to pass. It's right. hard when you have to be a prophet before you see the final product. And I think this is a prophetic time when it comes to Hispanic community and bringing something like this to the men across multicultural. They just put it in a multicultural way. It's prophetic because the need of men is not only in the Hispanic community, it's in the white community, it's in the Black community. It's that need of men. So this is prophetic. This is something that is across the board. So it's easy to wait 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and see the final product. Let's do it now when nobody sees it and it's hard. That's when God, that's when you see God moving.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. My name is Mike Hatch. I am your host, and of course, joined with me is Amazon best-selling author Chris Bollinger. Today, we have a great show. As usual, we've got a great show. We are interviewing CLC's National Hispanic Director, Pedro Martinez. And man, let me tell you, I love this guy. He's become a friend of mine since he's joined the staff with CLC. We've gotten to hang out several times. I love his heart. He's got a beautiful family, married, and has two beautiful kids. Pedro is also the pastor of a multicultural church in Florida. And so there's something interesting happening in the Hispanic community around the world. It's global. It's a global movement. The Holy Spirit is moving and opening the hearts of men in the Hispanic community in very unique ways. And Pedro was hired by CLC to be able to leverage, take advantage of what God is already starting to do in the Hispanic community as it relates to men's discipleship through CLC. So Pedro shares his story with us, of course, his fence post story. I think you'll relate to it a ton. He uses some fresh language, I feel like, to describe what we talk about often on the podcast in terms of living a double life and struggling with acting like a Christian or Christian behavior versus actually being a Christian. There's a difference, and he'll talk a little bit about that. Now, real quick, before we jump into the interview with Pedro, I just wanted to say that we would love your feedback. If you are a listener, man, we want to hear from you. So please email me at mhatch@clchq.org. You can also go into the show notes to find out how to get in touch with Chris Bollinger as well. Email either of us. We would just love to hear your feedback about this show. How are we doing? Are we covering the topics that you want to cover? Are we touching on the things that you think are most important, that are heavy on your heart, that you're really interested in learning more about, or ways that you're interested in growing? We want to hear about that and get to know you. All right, that's enough for now. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Here is our interview with the CLC National Hispanic Director, Pedro Martinez. Hey guys, I am so excited to have with us today on our Empowered Manhood Podcast, Pedro Martinez. Pedro, man, so good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Chris, for having me here today, man.
Yeah. Pedro, of course, you are our Hispanic director for CLC. And man, are we excited to talk about what that means for the ministry of CLC, what that means in terms of our ministry to Hispanics and Latinos around the world, not just in America, which is, you know, can't wait to get to that part. But before we dive into all that, we would love to hear your fence post story. And just again, for those who are listening for the first time, imagine a fence along a property. You've got the horizontal pieces, but those are held up by those vertical pieces that are usually bigger, thicker, and more stable in some ways. And those really define, those are symbolic of the big moments in our life that define who we are long term. And so, share with us. Now, we tell people, though, Pedro, you don't have to share all the fence posts. That would be a lot.
Right.
You could share a few of them. Be great to get to know you a little bit better, brother.
Right. Well, I'm Pedro Martinez, and I was born in Puerto Rico. I'm married for the last about 24 years. Beautiful wife, two amazing kids, Jaden and Emily. So proud of them, you know. I feel in so many ways they're the best part of me, you know. I'm a pastor kid. I'm a PK that will either bless you or mess you up. That's it. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, that's right.
So I committed all my sins in church. You know, I don't know if that's a good way or graphic way to say it, but growing up, I was probably 10, 11 years old when my dad came to Christ. So we were forced into this new thing. You know, we were forced into this new thing. And when you're forced to something, you don't learn. Mm. You just follow, you know. So I just followed the culture. I learned how to be a Christian. And that's different. You know, when you learn the behavior, then anywhere you stand and you want to be Christian, they're going to believe you are. Mm. But the actions and everything else away from that part, then it changes. So I became a very professional young man being Christian. And for years, I lived that double life. Mm. So it was easier to today be this way and tomorrow be different. So it was easier also to show one person, because as men, that's very important. You're always aware. You want to know that everybody's considering you well or well-behaved or educated or a great man. But then behind doors, I was a total different person. Or away from the people, some people, I was a total different person. So it wasn't until 2008. When I had that moment with Christ. And that is different, because me coming to church when I was 10, probably 11, and in 2008, many years after, for the first time, I was faced with Jesus, but not as to a person, but a mirror. You know, you have something in front of you that tells you this is who you really are. And when God kind of like confronts you that way, is different, because now he's allowing you to see who you really are and not the person you're trying to project. And I think that I needed that. Remember, I know how to be a Christian. I know how to worship and say all the right things, but I never knew how to be one, like personally. Mm-hmm. So coming to the Lord at that moment, it really put that mirror right in front of me, and I couldn't hide from it. You cannot go away from it. You have to face it. And when you face those things, you fight. They're not easy, because either they're going to make you feel strong or they're going to make you feel very vulnerable. And the vulnerable ones are the ones you got to deal with. The strong ones, you can, that's easy, because those are the things that makes you feel a man and I'm smart and strong. How about the ones that get you in the corner and start crying because you don't know how to deal with them? And nobody knows those things. So those are the things you suppress. Because the ones you want to be strong, you want everybody to see them. But the ones that they make you vulnerable, you suppress those things. And when you suppress them, now they become stronger and dictate who you are. You know, I learned this at the beginning, that the things that you hide are the strongest. But at the moment that you kind of say them, you kind of tell them, they lose the strength and the validation in your life. So that's how I started this walk with Christ, 2008. And facing all those suppressing feelings and life and actions in my past was the most difficult thing that I ever had to do. Because now then I have to go back and trying to figure things out. Why am I behaving this way? Why am I addicted to these things? Why am I so familiar and comfortable with this behavior when I know that's not me? And it was really interesting because I come from a Pentecostal background. And, you know, back in those days, you know, it's, you know, everything is a sin. So, you know, don't look that way twice, you know, kind of way. So all of those things became, I started knowing God in a different way, not the guilt kind of God that I was presented. Because then I started saying, wow, if even when I behave this way, you were good to me. I want to know this God. This God. So facing all of that past, it's not that it was easier, but it was better. And then I had a great pastor at that moment. He was as crazy as I was, I think, because that guy just put me up to teach and talk at the church. He said that, because remember, I'm coming from being a pastor's kid. So you are as involved as your father. I was involved as my dad. I preach, I teach at a young age. So one day he says, you must have some notes. And I'm like, notes? Hey, you got to have some notes. I said, you know, I keep my notes when I was a young leader at the church. So I showed, that was a mistake I made. I showed the notes to this man. And from that moment, he was like, put me up to say things. I said, listen, you know, I'm starting. I don't know. I mean, I knew a lot. I'm even trying to handle myself. You want me to teach to these people? You want me to say something to these people? And I'm telling you, he was as crazy as I was, because if it wasn't because that man came at the right time, I wouldn't be here today. Wow. He showed me a different way of how you handle things, how you deal with things. Not to be afraid to stand and show yourself vulnerable and admit the things you're fighting. And that I didn't learn Christianity that way. You couldn't not show how vulnerable you are, because then you kind of be now consider he's not too good. He's not a good example. Yeah. The way we project now, getting real or every curriculum, is like the way you get to that strong stand is by show how vulnerable you could be.
Amen. And
that's not how I grew up. So Those were the things that I can say that helped me to become who I am today. Facing my relationship with my father, all those things, how he perceived Christ and involvement in church, how he viewed family, all those things. Now I had the chance to go over those things and realize, am I being a good husband? Am I being a good father? You know, I might have been a good brother. So I deal with so much. So it took me a while to work into what I am today.
Man, thank you for sharing that, Pedro. Man, I can see why you were hired. You have the CLC DNA of willingness to be vulnerable and transparent. And man, it is so lacking. I resonate so much with the way you just described the struggle with the double life. You know, you were talking about being a professional Christian and having to be brought to a place where you had to admit your weakness, basically. Thank you for sharing that, man. I know guys relate to that.
Absolutely. Imagine you needed to say those things to your family.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Pedro, how did that affect your relationship with your wife? Because you've been married for, about 10 years at that point?
By then?
So,
yes.
What was the impact of that encounter that you had with Jesus and that realization that you were exposed now? You were in the light, as Mike likes to say. So how did that affect your marriage?
Well, we've had our struggles, So we came to the Lord, you know, dealing with things from our past, mistakes that I made. And we early in our marriage, we own a business. So that brought a stress into our marriage as mm-hmm. well. But when I came to the Lord, those things were already out. We were dealing with those things, right?
Okay.
And then I remember having this crazy dream, and it was like 3 a.m. in the morning, and I'm in the living room, and I'm crying, I'm nervous, because the dream just messed up my mind. And my wife realized that I'm not in bed. She comes out, it's close to 7, she has to get ready. And my heart, I felt that my heart was just going to explode. Yeah. And I said, if I don't tell her this, I feel I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. Like I got to get this out. You know, it was weird, because I felt like either my heart was just getting bigger, mm-hmm. and this pressure, it was in there. And I was started thinking, I said, God, am I going to die today? This is how a heart attack feels like.
Right.
I mean, what's going on? So I remember that I told her, I said, hey, we got to talk. And I started saying things to her that I have never told anybody. Mm-hmm. Things that I went through as a child in my young years, decisions that I made. And she was quiet. Mm-hmm. She didn't say anything. That made it worse. Because, I mean, at least if she would got mad, you know, you know what, right? You know,
right.
She was just quiet. And we looked at each other. She cried. And then she said, we talk later. Guys, wow. That was horrible. I was like, so if I thought I was dying, if she leaves, and now she started thinking, and right. then you imagine?
Nope. So, oh my gosh. Left hanging.
Yeah. But it felt better, because I was able to get all that out.
Right.
But at the same time, the uncertainty as to what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
And when you hear her side of the story, you'll hear her story saying on her way to work, this conversation that she had with God and how she felt through the process. Now I can say that God was in the midst of everything that it was happening. Mm-hmm. That was not a decision that I say, well, I have to go and confess and I got to get this out of my chest. Now I know that was God's moment for us mm-hmm. to have that kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I thought it was going to be the end of it actually was the start of a new kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. In which now she knows. Mm-hmm. She knows. And some of that stuff, it came a point where I talked to my kids about, which it was a decision that I felt that I needed to do. I didn't want nobody to come and tell my kids my sins in the past. You know, I felt that if they needed to hear it, hear from me. Mm. This is how I grew up. This is things I was exposed to. I didn't have any other way. That's just how the way I learned it. And I want to be a better dad. I do make big mistakes, but don't judge me by someone else is telling you. This is how it happened. Then when you hear others talk about it, then you say, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. But I also know what God did. So for me, that was very important.
Do you think, Pedro, that the, and tell me how, if I'm describing this wrong. Mm-hmm. So when I say Hispanic or Latino, are those two different things? Are they the same?
When they say both words, they're referring to Hispanics, right? Well, okay. Latinos, they're referring to the Hispanic community.
Okay.
So I, you know, it can be used.
Can be either. Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that. So, okay. So then when you think of the Hispanic community, then I'll just mm-hmm. use that term. Okay. So would you say that it's the men typically are a lot like you in terms of having the walls up? Mm. Not wanting to be vulnerable. I know friends of mine in the Black community, and I know it's tough. You can't speak for the whole community, of course. I understand that. And you know, honestly, I think it really, if you across cultural, you probably get a very similar answer to about mm-hmm. men in general, right?
Right.
But I'm just curious about, do you think that you were almost kind of a product of that community from a male perspective?
It's a great question, because I pastor a multicultural church. So I have, you know, different cultures coming together. When you speak of men, even though absolutely, sociology says that a man, you know, a human has that product, like whatever is around them, it influence their behavior, the way they think, the way they behave. So absolutely, you know, where you come from, it does have a great influence in the way you behave or see life. Mm-hmm. But there's certain things about men that is shared across culture. The struggles and there's ways of thinking, there's way of behaving that different cultures shares the same.
Yeah.
Being in China, and yes, the men, even though cultures are different, men, those struggles the same way. Been in Africa as well. So you see that across the board. But absolutely, I think where you come from and the way you're introduced to family and life and moral compass, all of those things are influenced from that place you
come. And that, I think you hit on, that's kind of, I think, where I'm coming. I know I've lived among Hispanics before in Northwest suburban Chicago. And one of the things that I noticed as I got to know some of them is that their values are very different from myself, who's, you know, Irish, German, white, whatever you want to call it, because they cared more about family than they cared about anything else. Mm. Whereas our culture, our white male culture would say we're more, we care about family, but we care almost more about professional success. Monetary success. And it seemed that or education, we were more concerned about education, where the Hispanic culture didn't seem to care as much about education. It was all about the family. So they didn't care for the most, and these are broad strokes, I know this, but they didn't care as much about how well they did. You know, the students that I worked with in Young Life, for example, who were Hispanic, weren't as concerned about their grade point average, for example, you know what I mean? Because it was more about being part of the family and doing what you needed to do to participate in the family, be productive within the family, ensure the family's success, that kind of thing. Whereas our culture is not like that. We're like, I can't wait to leave my family, you know, behind and, you know, whatever.
And I think it's also like, you know, if the community where you're working, and where all these kids are coming from comes from a community in which, you know, you have parents that they live paycheck to paycheck, you know, and that will also affect in the way they want their kids or how the times or what would they like the kids to become. I think that I work as a case manager for many years. That's my background. And and you can see that, you know, the influence of you know, tradition is a heavy, you know, faith is a heavy. You can see that across the board. You'll see some parents, yes, they want the kids to be educated. Other ones is you need to go work because we need that money. But that happens across the board, you know, in different communities. I've seen that in my years of working as a case manager, you know, how there's so much, you know, so many things that can be relational across the board, right? But yeah, you'll see something, for example, when I see that there's a difference. It's like, for example, when we all get together, you know, I have friends that I can go, and majority of them is, you know, it's a white family, it's a white house. So, you know, you can sit and there's music in the background, everybody's sitting down, you know, talking. But you go to one of our gatherings and everybody's just talking and loud and dancing and you would think they're arguing, but it's just the way we express ourselves. So that element, I can tell you that I see the difference, you know, the way that, you know, you structure your hangouts or, you know, the moments that you spend with the family. But I think that overall, tradition, the way you see the moral compass and then the way people are raised, it's based on that house particularly. Because you will have some Hispanics that, yeah, pursue education. Like my family was like that. You got to pursue that education. But then some other members of my family, they probably didn't think that education was, you know. So or my community, some of them, you know, I remember growing up and all my friends were considering to go to college and university. But then you have other of my friends that they didn't think that was necessary because so. But yeah.
OK.
Pedro, we talk a lot on this podcast about how men isolate. Men tend to isolate. They tend to want to be by themselves. They tend to want to project an image when they're with other men. And you talked a little bit about that in your own life, how you wanted to project the image of being the professional Christian, having your act together from a Christian standpoint, doing the right things. Do you see similar dynamics in the Spanish-speaking community? Do men tend to, maybe not from a outward appearance standpoint, but do you think they tend to isolate from a standpoint of not wanting to be vulnerable with other men? Or do you think that that's less of an issue in the Hispanic community?
No, I think it's a great issue as well. You know, we build those walls because those walls defend whatever it is that we're hiding. So across the board, you see that in a lot of men trying to portray something that I want you to trust me. So if I tell you exactly who I am, then I give you a choice. I cannot just give you an opportunity for you to have a choice. Actually, take this one. This is the way I want you to think of me or trust me or see me around your family. So I think that I see that in our community as well, the need of portraying something. So people don't think wrong of you or misjudge you or don't trust you. It's such a need across the board in every community, I think.
So Pedro, can you tell us a little bit about your role now with CLC and, what God is doing right now in bringing you on board? What do you see? What do you see God doing?
Well, before you answer that, I want to ask a kind of a preliminary question to that, which is,
okay,
what attracted you to CLC? I mean, we've heard your personal
great
story.
Question.
So, you know, you had your encounter with Christ, transformed your life.
Yeah.
You got out in the open and you had to kind of reshape yourself or rebuild yourself, right? I mean, you had to become an authentic person and stop hiding, stop building the walls.
Right.
But that was 14 years ago, I think. And you came to CLC fairly recently. So with the new Pedro, with the authentic Pedro now,
yes.
What attracted you to CLC? Why did you want to be a part of a ministry that was working with men?
I launched a church in 2016.
Okay.
2016, you know, we had already gone to set, you know, you have done all the list that approves you to be a pastor.
Right.
Now you go to seminary, you take all those classes, you're Pentecostal, now you for sure you speak in tongues and all those things, you know.
Right.
So 2016, we launched our church, and around 2018, we were just trying to grow the church. I mean, it felt great. You know, we went, you know, hardcore into full throttle into this ministry, right?
And so, it's a multicultural church, right? That's what you said.
At that time, it was only Spanish. The multicultural came after. But at that time, it was only Spanish. And we got blessed us in a way that was just crazy. We couldn't find a place, and there was a synagogue about 10, 15 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm. So, a Jewish synagogue.
Beautiful. And I just went in there and I said, knocked at the door one day and I said, listen, I'm a pastor of the church and I need a place to worship. I cannot find, nobody wants to rent to us. That's the truth. Not because we cannot pay, it's just their ideals are different. Will you allow us to worship here? And she just started laughing. She said, are you aware where you are? And I'm like, I am. I am very aware. What the worst thing you can say to me is no. 2 weeks after, she calls back and she said, this is what the rabbi said. The rabbi said, and I'm going to read it to you, that he feels in his heart that he needs to allow you to worship here.
Wow.
Listen, for 3.5 years, we worship at that synagogue.
Wow.
It was an amazing experience. So we saw God moving. We saw God allowing us to be part of the synagogue itself. We were just, it was such a great relationship. And in 2019, I felt that all those 3 years that I involved myself, I submerged myself into ministry. So everything was about ministry, about church. And then the little time that I had, then it was, okay, family, my wife, my kids. Mm-hmm. And I lost myself in ministry. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sinning. I wasn't doing anything. I just lost myself in ministry. I would feed from the positive and I would feed as well for the negative. Mm-hmm. So I acquired this persona. And by 2019, I was like, man, I need something. Hmm. You know, I was tired. I still need guidance. I was just struggling so much. And that's when I met George, Dr. Cope. And we just hit it off, man. I met in an event and we just started conversating. And at that moment, he says, I know what you need. And he says, give me 2 years. One day per week. And I'm like, sir, as it is, I don't have time for myself. And he's like, 2 years, give me 2 years. Every Wednesday, 6:30 in the morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. I got there that morning. There were six guys. I was number seven. And didn't know what to expect. Never done anything like that before. But one thing I noticed, it was that when you walk into that room, you didn't brought in your titles. Mm. You didn't brought in who you were or what you were doing. You got there like a man. You were just another guy in a room. And that's how I was introduced to CLC. I did all in. Mm. And a simple thing as this, I in 2016, 2015, I said, I wanted to read a book a month. That was one mm-hmm. thing. I wanted to read a book a month. I didn't have time for that because I was thinking I got to preach. So I got to get right. ready for the sermon. So you become, all the mm-hmm. reading you do is stores a sermon. Mm-hmm. There's a little time you got for yourself to enjoy good reading, mm-hmm. just to refresh, just to enrich that. CLC gave me that because if you do all in, you know that what every 45 days where we, you know, you get to do a different book. Mm-hmm. So as simple as that, it came at the right time and it gave me something that I was looking for in a different environment. Mm. Now I'm the only Hispanic sitting there. So when you sit there, that not even that counts, because when you see, it didn't matter if you were white or I was Hispanic. We were all men sitting in there, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah, that's how mm-hmm. I got introduced to CLC. Did the 2 years, went through COVID on that, so we're still meeting through Zoom. I mean, mm-hmm. then wow. you know, it did change my life. If you ask my wife, she'd tell you that. She said that she would push me off the bed because, you know, it was 45 minutes away.
And, oh, wow. And, at 6:30 in the morning, you had to leave the house at 5:45.
That's right.
That's not me.
Wow.
I'm telling you. So there were days that she would just push me off, say, you got to go. And I'm like, five more minutes. I know you need to wake up and go now. So I think that played a big part of me finishing. The fact that she showed the need and she understood that that was important for my season at that moment. So when Lee called,
real quick. Huh? Oh, okay. Sorry, I was gonna say you meant I was gonna clarify that's Lee Gerstenberger.
Yes, yes,
the Godfather of CLC. we just want to make sure he loves when we use that term.
Oh, yeah. All right,
yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
So when the golf,
yeah, we
call, you don't turn down that call, right?
we interviewed him of you know, some episodes back, but anyway, go ahead. You're saying, I think you said you thought it was Lee, but it might've been someone else. Mark, maybe. No. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Mark was in Blessings. I met Mark in the CLC group. So,
okay.
Mark made the approach. George also did the approach. Hey, the CLC, is interesting, you know, kind of like reach out to the Hispanic community. So when Lee called, it's like, well, that's it, man. This man is calling this, you cannot just, what is he going to say? I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Yeah.
That's what he said to me.
So I got this thing. I got this saying that every time I feel my baby's jumping, I know it's God's moment. You know, the Bible said when Mary met Elizabeth and you know, the baby jumped. Yep. They realized that there was something going on. So when I feel within me that baby's jumping, and I'm sorry for the men that will feel kind of insulted by that, but you know,
dude, I've never heard anything like that before, but that's going to be my new statement. I'm feeling the baby jumping.
You know, so
that's amazing, Pedro. Sorry.
So when they say, hey, this is what we're thinking. We don't know how it looks like, but we wanted to do it. We wanted to start moving forward. Will you be interested of being part of this? And I'm like, listen, man, it changed my life. I know a lot of Hispanic pastors and brothers that need something like this. It won't be easy, but I love the challenge. So I say yes. I came home. I told my family about it. They got even more excited because they understood what CLC did to me. So that's how I was introduced, and attracted to, being part. It's a small part of something big. And I like that. I'd rather have a small part of something great because at the end you can say that you didn't do that alone. You have a great team with you. And I think that's what we have in CLC. We have a great team of people that understand manhood. And understand the need of men in our community, understand the need of men in their homes. So I think this is an amazing thing. I believe that anyone can be a prophet after you see that things came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. Hard when you have to be a prophet before you see the final product.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a prophetic time when it comes to Hispanic community and bringing something like this to the men across multicultural, they just put it in a multicultural way. It's prophetic because the need of men is not only in the Hispanic community, it's in the white community, it's in the Black community. It's that need of men. So this is prophetic. This is something that is across the board. So it's easy to wait 10 years from now or 15 years from now and see the final product. Let's do it now when nobody sees it and it's hard. That's when you see God moving. So
then that's awesome, man. Man, Pedro, I'm fired up.
Come on.
I so love you, man. I'm so grateful for your heart to do this. So then, okay. So what are you seeing ahead here? And maybe speak to that guy who either knows, you know, has a Hispanic brother,
mm-hmm.
or maybe he's Hispanic himself. Speak to that guy first, and maybe they attend a church and they're hearing you say this, and they're thinking, man, we need something like CLC for our guys. That sounds amazing. Yeah. Speak to that guy. Maybe just convince him of what you're selling, I guess. And I don't say that in a shallow way. Speak to that guy for us.
One of the things that I've been facing in the process, it's meeting the guy that I was before I came into CLC. Mm. You know?
Wow.
And if I can go back to that Pedro, said, give yourself 6 months, give yourself 9 months. Matter of fact, you know, if you cannot do the 6 or the 9, give yourself 3 months. Mm. And enjoy sometimes to yourself. Having a vacation is amazing. Having a day off is amazing. But then you come back to reality. And then you need some time off to decompress from that. But if you are there, you're hearing this podcast, I think that we always dream to have a moment in which we feel free. Not guilty, not, wow, I need to do this. Hey, I started that. I didn't finish it because I needed to, you know, either work or you have a honey to-do list. You have to finish all those things. Mm-hmm. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes we get that honey to-do list. I think that's what they call it, right?
Mm-hmm. Because or honeydew.
A honeydew.
Yeah.
Because she wants to make sure you're still in the house.
Mm.
That you're still interested in building with me.
Right.
You know,
that's well said.
Yes. So when you take time to build yourself and care for yourself and feed yourself in a spiritual way, and also in the natural side of things too, they notice. Mm. They get to see it. You know, and that statement that said happy wife, happy life. Well, let me tell you something. There's some kind of happiness. There's some kind of a pleasing feeling that you need to have to bring that to your wife and to your home. So if you're there and you're still trying to figure things out, what do I do? How do I change things? I said, CLC, Volverse Real, is giving you an opportunity to take time for yourself, to take care of certain things that you've been afraid to take care of, because you don't know if you open that box again, how would that look like? How am I going to feel again? There's certain things that we run from them and we hide them. And we said, I'll take care of that later. Well, the thing is that will always bother you. It's like they said, it's just walking with that little rock inside of your shoe.
Hmm.
You know, yeah. You know it's there, but you got no time to stop and get the sneaker out, throw it away. So I tell you, I believe in CLC, and I think it has the power to transform you.
Hmm.
Give yourself some time to recoup, to analyze the things that you're fighting and you don't know how to fight them. Hmm. Sit with some brothers that they're also either fighting the same battle or they had already overcome the battle you're fighting. Hmm. And when you sit there, you're as equal as anyone there.
Hmm.
You know, that's one thing that I learned when I sit with the CLC group that I was. These men were successful. This man, if they tell you the resume, you will say, man, I need 3 lives to accomplish what these men have accomplished. And I was sitting there and that's the first comment that I said to them is, why do I bring to this table? I mean, you guys have done amazing things in your lives. They looked at me and they're like, you are as men as we are. You fight the battles that we fight. You probably have something that we don't know how to handle. And we need you in this group. So I believe that if you're hearing this podcast and you're hearing my voice, it's God's time for you to give a chance to your heart, to your mind, to yourself, to change for a chance, to find a group of friends that won't judge you because you're addicted to X, Y, or to that thing. They will see you and they will see themselves. And the best thing they want is to get you to a better place. So I think I would say that if I can go back in time, you know. Yeah.
Man.
Oh. Pedro, as you were talking, I was just thinking, so when you did All In, you did 2 years and you got up at 5:30 or 5:15
in the morning.
You drove 45 minutes.
Yes, sir.
To be with a group of guys that you really didn't know. Mm-hmm. You were the only Spanish speaker there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, I mean, you got to know these guys, but when you came in, I'm guessing you maybe knew one of them a little bit, or maybe you didn't know any of them at all.
Just George. I just knew Dr. Cope. That's it. I felt so out of place, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. You were very courageous to do that.
I'm telling you.
Because you were in kind of no man's land. I mean, you kind of knew one guy, but so in contrast, I mean, with Volverse Real, CLC is offering a 3 month or 6 month or 9 month opportunity for Spanish speaking guys to get together with, in many cases, guys who have similar experiences. May not be their closest friends.
Right.
But it's guys who speak their language. It's guys who probably have had some similar experiences.
Yes.
Cultures may not be identical, but they're probably pretty similar.
Right.
So I think your experience, even with all the challenges, was life-changing.
Right.
So absolutely. I think it's very exciting to offer a CLC experience to men who won't face many hurdles as you faced. You know, they can do it in their own community. They can do it with guys they may know already, guys who speak their language, guys who are from a similar life experience.
Right.
So I think that's a huge blessing and huge and a great opportunity for a lot of guys out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
All right, Pedro. So my guess is there are some guys out there who are on the edge of their seat or the edge of their seat in their car as they're listening to this.
Right.
Their heart's pumping fast because you got them motivated and excited about this. They resonate with your story. And man, do they want to connect with guys like you did.
Absolutely.
You know, how do they reach out to you? How do they connect with you? What are their next steps?
Hey, ACS Way, access our webpage, you know, clchq.org. In there, you'll find about Getting Real with Volverse Real in English and Spanish. You can access us that way. Was the other day in a conversation, I even throw my phone number and they're like, we don't give phone numbers in our podcast. I said, listen, it's already on their website. What am I going to do? Is it already in there?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So they will find their my email and my phone number. If you are a pastor, if you're just a regular guy at the church, come on. I'm a pastor and I needed that. I'm a pastor and I needed to get all that out, all that junk out. So, you know, if you listen to this, just access our website, clchq.org. Matter of fact, enter my number, 479-533-5310. It's already in there. There's nothing I can know about it. So you can access to my phone number too. We want to know about you. We want to know. You want to get to know you. I think we don't like our boss says, Craig, he says, we don't have the secret sauce, but we do have something special.
Amen.
And I think CLC and all the curriculums that we carry have something special. And it will be unfair not to expose that to the world. So we want to get you in there. We want to bless your life. So right now, go into the website or call me.
Amen, brother. Amen. I love it. Thank you so much, Pedro. I cannot wait to see what God does. He's just begun. I know you've got groups started already in Guatemala.
Yes.
We were talking about that before the podcast, and we've got the Better Man event coming up here that you're tied into to the organizers of that event, and they're excited about utilizing you and CLC with the reach that they have all over the world, hundreds of thousands of men, a majority of them Hispanic.
Yeah.
So, man, there's so much upcoming. Who knows what God's going to do? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Let me pray as we close out, Pedro, for you and your ministry, and then we'll take off. God, you are so good. You are so faithful, Father. Thank you for pursuing Pedro, for dragging him into the light. God, I just can't imagine being in that situation with his wife, telling her his past, and having her walk out to think about it, and him having to, man, Lord, thank you for sustaining him, for strengthening him, God. And then, Lord, moving him into this incredible ministry, both in his pastoring ministry and with CLC. God, I pray for your protection over his family, your provision for them, and your Holy Spirit's guidance every step of the way, Father, for whatever you have in store for him, Lord. We entrust him to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pedro.
Oh, thank you for having me with you guys. Amazing hanging out with you guys here.